Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Bijana Pallava Jaya Giri Bharanare Jaya Giri Bharanare Gopi Jana Pallava Jaya Giri Bharanare Jaya Giri Bharanare Yasoda Nandana Jaya Praja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Jaya Praja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Pallava Jaya Giri Bharanare Jaya Giri Bharanare Gopi Jana Pallava Jaya Giri Bharanare Jaya Giri Bharanare Yasoda Nandana Jaya Praja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Jaya Praja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Enough fun for today. Now we get down to business. Some philosophy for you all. So, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah. Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we are going to start with a little bit of visuals, of PowerPoint, and we will see how this works. And this PowerPoint is entitled, How to Connect with Krishna. There we go. So, let's talk about how to connect with Krishna. Of course, first we're going to talk about why we should connect with Krishna. And I think I should mention who Krishna is for those of you who don't know who Krishna is. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, most attractive person, the person who we have an eternal relationship with, the person whom, if we relate to, we will understand our Satchit Ananda nature, which is eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge, which all of us want. We all want to live. I was listening to a class today that Srila Prabhupada was giving, and he was talking about one person who said he didn't care if he died. Then Prabhupada responded, saying, why does he go to the doctor if he doesn't care if he's going to die? Because people want to live. People want to live. And the reason they want to live is our nature is to continue to live. And we can live forever, and we do live forever as spirit souls, and we can be fully conscious and fully in knowledge and fully in bliss by living forever with Krishna. And in the spiritual world, with Krishna, there is no coronavirus. And there are no miseries, and there are no newspapers, and no internet. Sorry about that. So maybe none of you will want to go to the spiritual world then. But in any case, let's talk about how to connect with Krishna. It's a very interesting discussion. Because many of us, we are chanting and we are not connecting with Krishna. Oh my God. Because the whole point of connecting with Krishna is connecting with our consciousness rather than just being a robot and imitating things. So let us go on and see what it means. So here is Krishna, in case you haven't figured out. That's Golokananda. And along with Golokananda, we have Srimati Radharani. And let's explain who Srimati Radharani is, to clarify. Srimati Radharani is the Adi Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In order to understand the Absolute Truth, one has to understand the male aspect of the Absolute Truth and female aspect of the Absolute Truth. There is Shakti Mam, that is Krishna, and there is Shakti, that is Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is in charge of the Ladini Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ladini Shakti means the pleasure potency of the Lord. So, if we want to experience Ananda or bliss, then we have to somehow or other connect with Srimati Radharani by pleasing her, and the way we please her is by pleasing Krishna, and the way we please Krishna is by pleasing Krishna's devotee. It seems to go in a circle like that. So, we will discuss this. So, first of all, let's figure out what's in it for us if we become Krishna conscious, or we try to become Krishna conscious, or try to connect to Krishna. This is called a whiffin. What is in it for me? And I'll discuss what's in it for you. Now, this may be your situation right now. In other words, you're locked up in your house. You may be experiencing some financial difficulties. You may be experiencing some relationship difficulties. You may be experiencing some pain in your body. Of course, the miseries in this world, which I generally don't like to talk about that much because I can be miserable to talk about the miseries in this world. The miseries in this world are of three types. And it's called adhyatmik, adhibhautik, and adhidaivik. And these are called kleshas, miseries. Miseries from one's own body and mind. Miseries from other living entities, and miseries from the material energy. And sometimes it's not so miserable. Just like today, it's a very beautiful day. I was walking outside and I was thinking, what a nice world. It is a nice world because it is meant for a purpose, pleasing Krishna. So I forgot about all those miseries, and today I felt pretty good. All right, forget about that misery. And today, more or less, all the devotees agreed with me. Okay. Fine, what happened with the threefold miseries? But there are concomitant factors in this world, and they come and go like a bell-shaped curve, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, dealing with the coronavirus. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. So these are called kleshas. So the first benefit of taking up Krishna consciousness, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, in the Nectar of Devotion, which is known as the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is that Kleshagni. Now, Agni is an interesting word. Agni, for those of you who understand Hindi, Bengali, Sanskrit, means fire. So Klesha Agni means your kleshas or your miseries get burnt up, scorched, finished, bas, as they say. So that's the first benefit of Krishna consciousness, because miseries come from, actually they come from several different things. I'll be a little bit more explicit than even what the Nectar Devotion discusses. The first thing Nectar Devotion says is it comes from karma, from reactions to certain things that we do. And I'm not going to get into the details. There's the Parabdha Karma, Parabdha Karma, Kutan Bija, which is the subject matter of another class, if I give a class on the Nectar Devotion. So by taking up devotional service, by the chanting of Krishna's names, all these kleshas get completely eradicated, including the Parabdha Karma, means the karma you're suffering from at present. That's one reason for the miseries. Another reason, big reason for the miseries, that's not talked about in the Nectar of Devotion, but I'll mention anyway, is one's attachment. If you're attached to something, that something has the power. You've given it the power to make you miserable. It's interesting. For example, if I'm attached, which I am, to my computer that I'm using right now, if it malfunctions, I become miserable because of my attachment. So, should I be attached? Well, probably because I'm using it in the Krishna service, but that's a different subject matter. But because we have these attachments, beginning with the body, subtle body, gross body, and everything attached to the body, and paraphernalia, and everything else, then we become miserable when something happens. For example, and this is an example I give oftentimes, when one hears a crash outside, for example, I'm sitting here, my car's actually parked out pretty close to the front of my house where I'm staying. If I heard a crash, I'd probably drop the microphone, drop the camera, and just run outside to see what it was. And if it was my car, I'd be really choked up. And I'd probably have a little difficulty finishing this class. But if it's someone else's car, wow, that's interesting. Yeah, that's how it is, just interesting. Because no attachment is there. So by taking up Krishna consciousness, one gets attached to Krishna and attach to one's relationship with Krishna, and that's eternal, it never goes away, you can't lose it, everything else gets lost, and basically that makes you detached from everything else. When you got a higher taste, a higher pleasure, nectar, then you get detached. So anyway, that's the first benefit of being Krishna conscious. But we're going to talk about how to connect with Krishna, but just give me the benefits first, because we have to give you some sort of impetus or motivation. Motivation is actually quite important. Really, really important. It's interesting. Another thing, I was listening to a class of Prabhupada's, because I listen to classes of Prabhupada's all the time. And one devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I was in so much ecstasy during that kirtan. And you know what Prabhupada said? He said, the kirtan is meant for Krishna's pleasure, not for your pleasure. That's bhakti, that's love. And I'll explain that, unpack it later, perhaps not in this class, but in a future class. So that's the first benefit one gets from bhakti, kleshagni. And then another benefit is your whole life becomes auspicious. And it says here, of course, the auspiciousness of any situation is how it brings us closer to Krishna. And it's also auspicious for other people because it gives you perfection. And it's the right thing to do. It's auspicious. Auspicious means you're doing the right thing for yourself, right thing for others, making people happy. That's auspicious activity. That's another benefit. Another benefit is that a devotee becomes Whoops. Put yourself on mute. Whoever is not on mute, let me put him on mute. People don't realize they should be on mute. Okay, you did it. So, another benefit is called Moksha Lagu Krit, which means that one derides liberation. In other words, even just liberation from this world, freedom from distress, is not important for a devotee because a devotee is having so much fun. Liberation is like sitting in the corner and doing nothing, and it's a quite miserable experience. And it's described in the Bhagavatam, Arui Kuchena Parampadam Pata Adanchito Yushmat Angreha, that even if someone goes up to the point of liberation, goes up to the Brahman, he falls down because it's quite boring there. That's interesting. And the next benefit is called Sudurlabha. It's rarely achieved. It's like a diamond. Very few people have it, but you can have it just by associating with a great devotee of the Lord. The next benefit is it gives you bliss. It's called Sandra Nanda Vishatma, which means, in English, bliss or Ananda, Kevalananda, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai, Chaitanya Nitai. Just worship Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and you get so much pleasure you cannot imagine. Your pleasure will be so great you'll be fainting in ecstasy. I mean, there's stories about Prabhupada sometimes. He would usually try to cover up the bliss or ecstasy he was feeling. But sometimes it would just come out and Prabhupada would just go into trance in the middle of giving a lecture. So this is another benefit. I mean, everybody wants to be happy. And the final benefit is Sri Krishna Karshani. Which basically means it is the means or the only means to attract Krishna. And so Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but one can control him and attract him by one's love. Bhakjamam amajana ti yavanyas chasmi tatvaha. Only by love can you control God, and God controls you by love. You're voluntarily doing what you're doing. You can choose to serve God. You can choose not to serve God. That free will is always there, even in the spiritual world. That free will is there. It's never taken away. One should not ask for have his free will taken away, because that's part of our nature. We are part and parcel of God. So, therefore, that love attracts us to Krishna and also attracts Krishna to us. So how do we accomplish this? This is the difficult part, or the easy part, depending on who you are. How do we accomplish this? So the first rule is you have to think of Krishna. Sounds easier than it actually is. I was asked the question today, you know, what do we do? How do we make the mind our friend? Bhagavad Gita says, the mind is the friend of the living entity, and the mind can be its enemy as well. The uncontrolled mind. So how do you control the mind? So there's an interesting verse, not about how to control the mind, but is Smartavya Satatam Vishnor Vishmartavyo Na Chatu Chit Sarvi Vire Nishedah Shut Ete Yor Eva King Karaha. Which means one should always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. We should always be remembered, never forgotten at any time. All the rules and regulations mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. Does that mean we throw out all the rules and regulations in the Shastras or the scriptures or the books or whatever you call it? No, because they're all meant to help us do this. Help us. For example, we have the four regulative principles. You may say that these four regulative principles are impossible, they're mean and cruel and not in touch with modern culture, but they help us because they keep us in the mode of goodness. Someone who is drinking, they are not in the mode of goodness. Someone who's breaking the other regulative principles, they are not in the mode of goodness. If you want to be in the mode of goodness, you should follow the four regulated principles. Don't drink, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating. And plus, you don't get bad karma either. So that's rule and regulation. Those rules and regulations are meant for that. But even if you follow rules and regulations, you don't come to the point of remembering Krishna, loving Krishna, then ashrama eva hi kevalam, that's Sanskrit, for you are just spinning your wheels. Spinning your wheels means when you get stuck in ice or mud and you put your pedal down in the accelerator and you don't go anywhere, the wheels just spin and you get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the ditch or into the snow. So you got to understand the purpose of the rules and regulations. The rules and regulations in and of themselves are necessary but not sufficient for those of you who study logic. You can look it up in your books. So we're going to talk about ways to forget Krishna. So we're going to train you up how to forget Krishna. So remember this, take your notes so you can remember how to forget Krishna. And here we go. Of course, this in reference to the Upadeshamrita, which I think some of you have heard of, Achahara Prayasas Cha Pajalpa Niyamagraha Janasandas Chalayam Cha Sadbira Bhakti Vanashyati. These are good ways to remember to forget Krishna. I mean, obviously, you eat too much, you're going to be bloated, all your senses are going to be, or at least you're going to fall asleep. It's really easy to forget Krishna if you're sleeping. Or if you're real greedy, so much is mine, so much will be more tomorrow. That's eating or collecting too much. Or over-endeavoring. As you see, here's a meeting of, I'm not going to say it's the GBC, because it's hopefully it's not the GBC. It's a meeting. Actually, put yourself on mute. Nadeshan, put yourself on mute, because I can hear you. Otherwise, I'll take everybody's time to put you on mute. Okay? I will do it myself. All right. Thank you. So I did it myself. So anyway, so over-endeavoring means to want something so much or be a workaholic and not take time out for your spiritual life. Because what so profit the man if he gains the whole world but loses his eternal soul, brother? You know, what is the benefit? There's no benefit. Because ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I mean, I'm giving a few quotes from the Christian scriptures here. So, therefore, we should regulate our time so we have the time for spiritual life and time for doing other things. And just be balanced. Mityahara vihara, yes, Krishna says. What should be balanced is eating, is sleeping, is working, and everything like that. The middle path, as they say in Buddhism. And that's called over-endeavoring. And the next one is called prajalpa. Means, basically, talking about things that are just like useless. Village talk. I don't know if any of you know what village talk is. Anyway. Rumors, gossip. Things, you know, of course, we should be aware of what's happening in the world, but all day long to be watching the news, I think that's depressing. And then another one is called Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means not following. Nadeshan, you put yourself off of mute when I put you on mute. My humble request is, otherwise I'm going to take you off. Just leave it alone. You're on mute right now. We have to discipline people here. So this is not following the rules. Here you see a robber, he's not following the rules. Or sometimes people follow the rules ritualistically or driving unconsciously. That's another cause or way of forgetting Krishna. Or associating with worldly-minded people not interested in spiritual life. You may recognize some of these characters. in the picture. They're not friends of mine. They're friends of a famous political character. Because when you associate with people who are not interested in spiritual life, guess what? You get the modes of nature they carry with them. So if you associate with people who get drunk, you will get drunk. If you associate with people who invest in the stock market, you will invest in the stock market. If you associate with devotees, you'll chant. If you associate with whoever. I mean, I've actually seen people who are associating with their pets all the time, and they start to look like their pets, or the pets start to look like them. I mean, I've seen many men look like bulldogs. So that's also a big problem. Or if we become greedy for mundane achievements. I think that house is a little bit too big for all of us. We should be satisfied with what we need and be happy in that way. Because the more you have beyond what you actually need, it just becomes a headache. Actually, he's going to have to be taken off. Let me take him off the, because he keeps opening himself up. Give me 1 second. I will take him off, remove him. There, he's gone. So, let me go ahead with this. So, and the next way to forget Krishna is following the rules and regulations just to follow them. That's called, of course, Niyam Agraha. Or as this famous pilot is doing, flying the plane on automatic pilot and overshooting your runway. And I gave this example one time in class that there was a group of pilots who were... two pilots, actually, were flying a commercial jet, and they were talking about football or something like that, and put the plane on automatic pilot, and they overshot the runway, overshot the airport by about 200 miles. Then, what happened after that is the Air Force sent up some fighter jets to try to chase them down. They thought they had been hijacked. When they saw the fighter jets, they realized what happened. They turned the plane around, landed it in the right airport, and guess what? They lost their jobs. So sometimes we are doing that, following the rules and regulations, but not being aware of why we're doing it, what we're doing it for, or who we're doing this to please. Because the whole point in following the rules and regulations, the motivation, the impetus, should be bhakti. There are different types of yoga. You got Hatha Yoga, you got Jnana Yoga, I mean, just like basic stuff, Raja Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. Of course, Krishna does say in the 6th chapter of the Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shadava vajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha, that of all yogis, the topmost yogi is the Bhakti Yogi. And so why is the Bhakti Yogi the topmost? Because the Bhakti Yogi is doing everything for love. And love is the strongest force in this world. When you're in love, or when you love, you can focus your mind very, very, very easily. Like we see a young couple, sometimes they're in love, and that's all they're thinking about. They don't think about their schoolwork, they don't think about their finances, they don't think about anything, and sometimes they end up crashing their car into a lamppost. But that's all that they think about. So it's the strongest force. So to control the mind, to make the mind your friend, that's all you have to do. You just have to be in love with Krishna or Krishna's devotee. And I was giving the devotees the example this morning, talking about when someone asked me today, how do you control the mind? How do you focus the mind? That this morning I was at Mangalarti on the internet, of course. And I have a big screen TV here, and I was looking at the deities, chanting to the deities, and just thinking, Krishna, you're so wonderful. I just want to please you. I just want to be with you. I just want to understand you. And then I looked at a picture of Prabhupada, and I thought the same, and I was in love. And the mind became focused. So that's the secret. And, you know, that's a problem, is this ritualism. We start doing all these rituals. We end up with all these different rituals we do, counting so many circles around, so many circles around, so many circles, and there's mantras and the mudras and the whatevers. And then we forget about the purpose of Krishna consciousness. For example, when I do arti, arti is the ceremony you do to the deities, I don't count how many circles I do, because if I counted how many circles I do around the deities, offering incense, offering a flower, offering the napkin, offering a lamp, then all I would do would be counting. And the purpose of my life is to remember Krishna, not to count. You know, I mean, I love mathematics. That was my best subject in school, but I don't like to do mathematics on the altar. So this is another thing that disconnects us from Krishna, you know, and gets us doing something called inattentive chanting, which is actually the cause of the other, what we call offenses in chanting. Because if we're attentive, we won't commit offenses. So we're inattentive while we're chanting. We're thinking of something else, planning something else, spacing out. I mean, I don't know what else is happening. But the way we become attentive is with bhakti or love. So what's going on in our minds? And we say these prayers sometimes. Some of you are familiar. Of course, I think Aditya Narayan Prabhu will probably lead you in this prasadam prayer, the virtual prasadam you're going to be having after this lecture. Mahaprasadam Govindev Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi Vaishnave Swapapunya Dham Rajan Vishwasho Anaiva Jayate. And so we say that prayer and we say this other prayer, you know, Sharira Vijaja Jitendriya Tehikala, etc. And do we actually know or think of what we're saying? We may know what we're saying, but we should be thinking of it. For example, the second prayer that I just demonstrated for you says, O Lord, this material body is a place of ignorance, and the senses are networks of past leading to death. But somehow or other, fall into this ocean of material sense enjoyment, and all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable, and it's very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. But you, Lord Krishna, are very kind to us. You have given us this prasadam, Bhagavad prasadam, to help us control the tongue. So now let's take this prasadam and love call out for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nishananda, please help us. Actually, I just said that, and I didn't even think about what I was saying. Because I've committed it to memory. Because I knew that was what I was supposed to do before I ate prasadam. It's like, you know, Om Tat Sat, thanks a lot. Or as one person said jokingly, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Anyway, that is not a nice expression. So the point is, you got to really meditate on what you're doing at every moment. Just like this afternoon or this morning, I was taking prasadam. So generally when we take prasadam, we just throw into our mouths, or take food, we just throw into our mouth. But I was chewing and meditating. You know, this is the taste of Krishna. When Prabhupada would take prasadam, he would generally, if he was alone, which was in most cases, and not visiting someone in their home, he would generally face the wall or face a window and just eat very, very quietly, meditating on the fact that the taste of the prasadam is Krishna. And this, then it becomes very ecstatic. Rather than swallowing, drinking down your prasadam, of course you can drink prasadam too, but just to meditate, the taste of the food that is offered to the deity is Krishna. We are so fortunate to be tasting this, to be eating this, thinking of your great fortune while you're doing it. And then eating prasadam every moment becomes an ecstatic experience. So doing anything for Krishna, of course, what to speak of, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh Krishna, oh Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's service. Oh energy of the Lord, I'm crying out to you, I Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavambudo Kripya Tava Padapankaja Dita Duli Sadrasam Bachintaya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, but please help me, fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And there's other mantras we use, the obeisances mantra, You know, Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Are we actually remembering what we're saying when we're saying it? What is the meaning of it? I mean, is it just like some incantation, like a witch's incantation, double, double, boil, treble, cauldron burn and cauldron bubble? That's from Macbeth, in case you haven't figured that out, Shakespeare. So are we actually thinking about it? Namaham Vishnu Padaya. My dear Lord, I offer my respects, my love, my devotion, my service. What does the word obeisances mean anyway? It's just like, you know, just a fancy way of bowing down and getting exercise. Obeisances, respects, service, love. I mean, you can unpack that one word, isn't it? What does the word obeisance mean? You can give a whole class. I can give a whole class on the word obeisance. I offer my respects unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who was so kindly sent by Krishna to this world, taken shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, who has come to the Western world to actually dissuade people from the path of impersonalism. And boy, you remember these things, then every moment becomes connection with Krishna. It's up to you. You can connect to Krishna every moment. Even if you're at work, you can remember, why am I doing what I'm doing? Who am I doing it for? You're connecting to Krishna. You're with your family. My family's part and parcel of Krishna. I love my family. If Krishna is giving me the service to take care of these souls, to take them back to Godhead. So we have so many prayers, and I don't need to go through all of them. And as I mentioned before, there's different ways to be focused as we're saying these prayers, as we're doing our daily activities for Krishna. And one of the ways I often mention to people is to have a sankalpa, another reason for life. Now, according to the mode of nature that you're in right now, you'll have a different sankalpa. For example, if you are in the mood or in the mode of Vishuddha Sattva, then your mission is simply to please Krishna. If you're just in Sattva, your mission is to get liberated, get back to home, back to Godhead, get out of this world too. And if you're in the mode of passion, then you want something. But anyway, it's not the end of the world. Akama, sarva kama, moksha kama, dharati, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whatever one's mission is, think of your mission. What's my life's mission? Write it down. Do your priorities. What's your first priority? What's your second priority? What do you want to accomplish in this life? What do you want people to say about you after you kick the bucket? What do you want? And so, when you have a mission, then you can accomplish the impossible. And actually, this is a quote: the difference between the impossible and possible lies in a man's determination. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And I was there when Prabhupada said that. And basically, the devotees, and of course, I can't say myself, but we all proved that by taking Prabhupada's words, our life and soul, doing something that was impossible, producing 17 books in 2 months in one little temple in North America. So that's really important. If you're focused, you can accomplish so many things. That's actually the secret, just like that book or movie, The Secret. If you're really focused, then you'll take every available opportunity to accomplish what you need to accomplish. For example, if you're a businessman, you're focused on making money, even if you go to the forest, guess what? You're going to figure out how to make money in the forest, if that is your goal, is your intelligence. And Dhruva Maharaj is a perfect example of someone who is focused on getting something. Of course, his focus changed as he became a pure devotee. Dhruva wanted a great kingdom, but at least he was focused on chanting the Lord's holy names. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, under the instruction of his guru Narada Muni. And then when he achieved Krishna, that was a different thing. He changed his whole focus. So sometimes we have to do that too, you know, if we have some other focus. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, was focused on the goal of pleasing his spiritual master. And he did great austerities. I mean, Prabhupada mentioned about the fact that, you know, he saw his spiritual master telling him to take sannyas, and Prabhupada said he was horrified when he had this particular dream. And then Prabhupada did amazing things. I mean, one person at the age of 70 crossing the ocean with no money. And now we have a whole international society with hundreds or thousands of great, great devotees in it because of one person being focused on the mission in life. So we have to ask ourselves, what is our mission in life? So, you know, I'm asking you all to think about that. You know, if we were all present physically, I would ask you all to think about that. Maybe at the end of this class, I'm going to ask some of you to volunteer as to what is the mission in your life. What do you value? You know, what's a high value to you? What's important? You know, is compassion a high value? Is devotion a high value? Is what a high value? Are you a patriot? What is your value in life? So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's secret for achieving your goal. You accept what is favorable and reject what is unfavorable for achieving your goal. It's very easy. If your goal focused, oriented, it's very easy. Oh, this doesn't help me achieve my goal. That's okay. Because that's my goal is what's most important. So this is the point. And then if you're doing that, Krishna will always protect you. As you see here, we showed this slide the other day when we were talking about Krishna protecting the devotees. And then Krishna will always maintain you. What do I mean by maintain you? This is a story of Magrari. Magrari was a hunter, for those of you who don't know. And he was half killing animals because that's what he learned from his father. Then what happened is Narada Muni, the great sage you see here with Avina, Radhika Ramana Namane, approached some of the animals, saw that they were half killed or, you know, writhing in pain, set them free. Magrari said, why did you set them free? Narada Muni said, why do you half kill them? Why don't you fully kill them? It's not as bad. It's bad, but not as bad. And Magrari said, that's what I learned to do. And Narada Muni basically showed him what his future would be like. For every animal he killed, he would also have to suffer the same fate. And so when he got this wake-up call, he decided, wow, I'm changing my life. What should I do? Narada Muni said, give up your occupation and chant the Lord's holy names. And Magrari said, how am I going to maintain myself? And Narada Muni said, don't worry. Krishna will take care. And Krishna did take care, and he became such a great devotee, as you see in this picture, that he would not even harm an ant. He would not even step on an ant. That is advancement in Krishna consciousness. To have no separate interests, like Srila Prabhupada, these are the surrendering principles listed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and these are very blissful principles. To be humble, like you see here, Rupa Goswami touching or clutching Lord Chaitanya's feet. To be determined, as Krishna says in the Gita, second chapter, text 41, those who are resolute on this path, their aim is one. The intelligence of the intelligence of those who are not focused is many branched. In other words, they're all over the place. They'll never accomplish anything, probably not anything material or not anything spiritual. And then we depend on Krishna to take care. Ananyas chinta yanto mam yejanak paripasate. Tesham nityabhayuktamam. What is it? Yogakshema vahamyaham. If we're actually devoted like that to Krishna, Krishna preserves what we have and he will protect what we like, what we lack. So, anyway, that's how we remember Krishna. Basically, just to summarize, the methodology for remembering Krishna The most important aspect of the methodology is to have some love for Krishna, for Krishna's devotees, for the things related to Krishna. And when there's the love there, one's mind automatically becomes focused, attracted. The example given in the Vedic literatures is just like the rivers run down to the ocean. In the same way, one's mind will be spontaneously attracted to spirituality, to Krishna, to your mission in life. And in this way, you will actually be happy. Okay? And focused on Krishna. So we're going to stop right now and take questions from anybody who wants to ask questions. So does anyone want to ask questions?
Hare Krishna, Dhanavat Maharaj, Dhanavat Pranam Maharaj, this is Abhiram.
Hare Krishna, you have some questions?
Yeah, how are you, Maharaj? First of all, how's going everything?
I am doing very well by Lord Chaitanya's grace.
Can I ask you one question, Maharaj, if you don't mind?
I do not mind.
Yeah. Maharaj, when we are talking about mode of goodness, can you just... Explain me apart from the four principles, what other qualities we require to be make ourselves remain constant in the mode of goodness? Does only the four principles require, or any other thing?
Well, I think one of the things that's stressed by Krishna in the Gita, amongst many other factors, is the food we eat, because there's food in different modes of nature. So as I mentioned previously, oh, actually, I didn't give the verse today. Karanam gunasangasya sadasa janma jonishu. We're in particular modes because of sangha, because of association. So one of the types of sangha we have are food, because you are what you eat. And according to the Ayurveda, when you eat some food, it gradually becomes transformed to blood. Blood actually carries the consciousness, or carries our consciousness. Of course, you know, the brain is there and everything else like that. But what happens, sometimes you see someone who gets a transfusion, for example, and temporarily their consciousness becomes changed because there's some blood from someone else.
Sure.
I'm not saying don't get a transfusion. So your food is one way you associate with people or things in different modes. What you listen to, you know, types of music, types of philosophy, people you hang out with. I mean, for example, or places you go. I mean, if I was to go to a bar, for example, to preach, because I've never drunk my whole life, to tell you the truth. If I was to go to a bar to preach, then I'd experience the modes of nature there. And I, of course, be careful not to associate with those particular modes of nature. One time, I went to try to bring one of the devotees back to Krishna consciousness who had taken a job playing in a piano bar.
Yep.
So I went into the bar, sat down, ordered some 7-Up, of course. And he was playing the piano, and there were a bunch of girls sitting on the piano. You know, just this typical picture you see in the movies.
Yep.
And he looked up after playing the piano and says, "Oh my God, what are you doing here?" And I said, "I've come to save you or shave you." No, I didn't say shave you. And I came to give him association. But I could feel the modes of nature. One of the places I go to quite often, because I'm in charge of the temple in New Orleans. New Orleans is one of the most, let us say, degraded places on this earth planet. And you can actually feel the modes of nature. You can see the goat, at least I can. I can see the ghosts hanging from the trees there. It is so like immersed in the mode of ignorance, particularly this place called the French Quarter.
Okay.
And if anyone's heard of the French Quarter, I'm sure you've heard of the French Quarter. And then one time I was going through the airport in Las Vegas. Some of you have heard about Las Vegas. And they have all these things called the one-armed bandits there. That means the slot machines where you pull something and you try to get some money out of it, you know, whatever, coins, and you see three things spinning. And people were just like absorbed in that mode of passion and ignorance doing that. So anyway, so if we want to stay in the mode of goodness, we associate with things in the mode of goodness, foods in the mode of goodness, music in the mode of goodness, people in the mode of goodness, like that, times in the mode of goodness, you know, the early mornings, the good time in the mode of goodness,
okay,
etc. So that's the secret Prabhupada gave us. You know, you so you become like that which or who which you associate with, isn't it?
Yep.
What is that saying in Spanish? Tell me, Ken, who you hang out with, and I'll tell you who you are. Someone here knows Spanish, you know, like K2 on this, you know, who you hang out with, and then that's who you are.
Yes, Maharaj.
Dime con quién anda.
What's the Spanish?
Dime con quién anda y te diré quién eres.
Te diré quién eres.
That's a very wonderful saying in Spanish. Gorhari is there. That's very good. Good to see you, Karen. And very good to see everybody. All right.
Thank you very much.
Who else has a question?
Hare Krishna, Buddha, this is Rishikesh.
I'm trying to find you wherever you... Oh, I should actually put on speaker view because people want me to do that. Yeah. Okay, Rishikesh.
Yes, Gurudev. I just wanted to understand in a...
I can't see your smile. Progressive...
That's fine.
Put on your smiling face. Okay. What's the question?
I just wanted to understand in our sadhana bhakti, you know, how do you really understand the reciprocation of Krishna? Because sometimes the mind talks, sometimes you get some intuition and you feel, oh, Krishna is talking to me. And you know, sometimes the mind is talking. How do I actually understand that the reciprocation of the Lord? Because unless I really feel the reciprocation, you know, that motivation doesn't come. You know?
Yeah, you need to feel the reciprocation. But sometimes it's our mind and sometimes it's Krishna. So to be able to distinguish, we need to ask someone who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness. I mean, that's the only way. But yes, we need Krishna consciousness is based on inspiration. What is it? Like 80% inspiration, the rest 20% perspiration. So you have to...
Like when I get up in the morning, when I chant, you know, I just pray to the Lord, at least, Lord, at least help me understand when you reciprocate so that I can, if there is a reciprocation, then they know the motivation automatically, the love automatically grows. You know? But it's very difficult to understand who is talking.
It is difficult. I never said it was easy. So it takes some discrimination and then you need some association. You can just write me an email and ask me who's talking.
Thank you, Vildi.
Thank you. So who else has a question?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Anshu, it's good to see you.
Dandabat Pranam, Dandabat Pranam. Maharaj, when you put up that slide which showed the workaholics, that actually resonated with me because I find myself doing quite a lot of work and sometimes not finding time for Krishna. Is there a practical way that we should remember Krishna, particularly when we are occupied at work, like maybe some tips on how we could do that?
Well, maybe keep a picture of Krishna in front of you on your desk. That's one practical way. People do that all the time. Usually they keep a picture of their wife and children, so why not keep a picture of Krishna on your desk? And then have some sort of schedule that maybe during the day, maybe the lunch hour or something like that, you take some time out to chant, you take some time out to read. You know, just try to space out your day so that you can sandwich in Krishna there. Another thing I found to be very helpful, and this is recommended by professional people, not only devotees who advise on how to focus your life, they say that before you go to sleep at night, you actually write down the important things that you want to do or important things in your life. Take about 10 minutes, you write it down. So by the process of writing it down, it becomes implanted in your consciousness. So when you're sleeping, you will dream about that, or at least you will actually try to bring it into your consciousness, and then the next day it will actually stay in your consciousness. I found it very helpful to read before I go to sleep at night. So read a little bit something about Krishna. So that's my advice. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Any other questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sukala.
Hey, Sugata from Philadelphia.
Maharaj,
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Speak now.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, you can ask a question.
You said about that when sometimes we recite a mantra or we do, you know, any kind of mantra, we just do it because it is part of the saying and we have a practice, we do it. And lot of times even we see a lot of devotees, those who know a lot of slokas, lots of mantras, I don't know whether they really understand the meaning, but they just chant it and say it. And sometimes I feel that I don't know so many slokas, I don't know so many mantras. So, but I try to follow, you know, the four regulated principles, the chant my rounds. And does that, you know, by knowing all these mantras, by knowing what you're doing, how can I differentiate between doing my regular job plus this and the mantra, you know?
Well, first of all, if people know all the mantras and they're actually thinking about their meaning and meditating on the meaning of the mantras, and then I have no problem with that. But it's better to know one mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, and meditate on the meaning than to know thousands of mantras and not to know what they mean, nor to meditate on the meaning and to say them ritualistically. I mean, you'll find this fault in many different religious cultures that people do these rituals. And even in the beginning, they may be aware of what they're doing, but because they're doing the same thing every day, it becomes a repetition and they put themselves on automatic, as I say, automatic pilot. So it's definitely a problem. And Rupa Goswami cautions us about that problem in the Upadeshamrita, you know, Nimagraha. So like Lord Chaitanya said about that one devotee who didn't know any mantras and didn't even know how to read the Gita, but he was following the order of his spiritual master and thinking of the purport of the Gita, Lord Chaitanya said that person was the real knower of the Gita. So the whole point is to be Krishna conscious, which means in the heart and in the mind to be thinking of Krishna, not simply to be expert in so many different things. So
thank you very much.
That's up to you. You have to determine what's favorable and what's not favorable for your remembering Krishna and pleasing Krishna and your spiritual master. That's up to you.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
That's an individual thing. I can't tell people what's best for them. I mean, I can help facilitate them in understanding it, but I can't dictate to them because we're all individuals and we know best what's good for us. Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Thank you, Shukada.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. All glory to Prabhupada.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned something about Kalesha. You mentioned something about Kalesha Agni in the beginning. I couldn't hear what we were trying to say about Kalesha Agni. Could you just explain a little bit?
Kalesha Agni. In the beginning, I talked about how there's material disturbances in this world. Agni is fire. And by taking up bhakti yoga, Agni, the fire, destroys the miseries or the pain in this world. Klesha Agni. Klesha Agni. There's the kleshas.
Klesha
means klesha means disturbance. Klesha Agni means the burning up of your disturbances. Okay? That's the term. Klesha Agni. And it's a conjunct. You put it together in Sanskrit, Klesha Agni. Instead of Klesha, Agni, Klesh Agni. Okay. I want to thank everybody. Actually, what time is it? Oh, yeah, actually. So it's time to end. Whoops. We had another question. Oh, of course, we had Aditya Narayan Prabhu who wanted to
read it.
What's that? Someone else said something?
Yeah, Gurudev, Praneshwar from Delhi.
Wow, Praneshwar from Delhi. Congratulations.
And Gurudev, actually, my question is, like, you know, in the business, we meet with many type of people who are in ignorance, who are in passion. Then how to protect self? Because in the meeting, we have to get the association, but they are not Krishna conscious, and we have to get interactions with them. So how to protect self in this situation?
Well, what I do is I always try to remember why I'm doing, of course, I'm not a businessman, hopefully. I'm trying to remember why I'm doing what I'm doing, and the purpose of it is for Krishna. And then Prabhupada, he always chanted the holy names. The interesting thing about Prabhupada, whenever I remember sitting with Prabhupada when Prabhupada was speaking to other people and other people were saying something, and you can actually hear under Prabhupada's breath or just watch his lips, and it was always Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You know, so Prabhupada was always chanting the holy name, or at least in his mind, the Hare Krishna mantra was always there and kept him connected. So, aren't you in lockdown in Delhi?
Yes, it's true, Dave.
Anyway, I miss you. So,
yes.
Pranesh is a very nice devotee. He's a big businessman in Delhi. So, but it's the middle of the night for you. Actually, not the middle of the night. It's the morning for you.
Yeah, it's a 3 a.m. Yes, yeah, morning.
That's good. Anyway, thank you for joining us. All right.
Thank you so much, Krishna.
Thank you. So I guess since it's 6 o'clock or 6:04 right now, we can end and let Aditya Narayan Prabhu make an announcement for our congregation in North Carolina. We have 66 people watching here, and we probably have about 40 or something people watching on Facebook. So this is a very nice way of interacting with people. Aditya Narayan Prabhu, do you want to say anything?
Yes, Maharaj. First of all, we'd like to thank you for the wonderful class on connecting to Krishna. And so nicely you presented the points that would take us away from Krishna and the points that actually bring us towards Krishna. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful presentation. It's all about Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jai Krishna. So I have an announcement. This is coming up on 6th of May. On Wednesday is actually Narsimha Chaturdashi. So it's a wonderful festival. Obviously, we'll not have like in-temple festival, but what we are planning is we'll have a Narsimha Yagya where you all can participate by watching on Facebook. You know, on our ISKCON of New Goloka page, you can actually log in and we'll have a wonderful Narsimha Yagya. And also we are actually inviting anyone if you like to be a part of the Yagya, if you have like any special prayers, we are going to send out a link where you can actually enter the name of your family members and if any special prayers. So at the end of the Yagya, we'll actually be doing reciting your names and making a prayer for you and your family members. So it's a wonderful way like everyone can get involved, you know, with the Yagya, and you can actually watch us on Facebook Live, do the entire wonderful Narsimha Yagya, like especially these.
And also, Aditya, also I'll put it on, I'll be there at that time because I'll be out of isolation. So I'll put it on Zoom too, so we can see everybody who's watching.
Wonderful, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Yeah. So I was mentioning that, you know, this particular time is wonderful to actually have the special prayer to Lord Narsimha Dev, you know, to protect us and also protect, you know, what all is happening in the world. So please do get involved. And also, like, you can just send your names. You know, we'll have a link, a Google form. You can just write your names, prayers, send it. And at the end, during the Yagya, we'll actually read out your names and prayers. And also, if you like to sponsor this Yagya, you can actually make a sponsorship for $108 for the yagya. And after the yagya, we'll have an abhishek of Lord Narasimhadev. So you can also sponsor the abhishek for $108. We'll be having wonderful offerings, like we'll do a Rajbhog offering. So you can sponsor the Rajbhog offering for $108. And also the flowers for that day, we will be, you know, dressing Radha Golokananda very nicely with beautiful flowers. So if you'd like to sponsor the flowers, you can also contribute $108 towards that. So, you know, this is open to anyone, not only the local New Goloka devotees, anyone you'd like to make a contribution for this festival. I just posted on the chat our website where you could log into newgoloka.com and you can make a donation through the website, or we have our PayPal ID, newgoloka108@gmail.com. You can actually directly make a PayPal. And in the PayPal ID, you can actually make a note that this is for Narasimha Yagya or Narasimha Abhishek or the offering for Lord Narasimhadev. So you can specify details so we know that this is for the particular cause. So it's just 10 days away, actually. So it's wonderful to take this opportunity to read more the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and absorb our minds in welcoming Lord Narasimhadev, whose appearance day is on 6th of May, Wednesday. So the yagya would actually start at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right? And then at around 6:45, we'll be having the abhishek, and 7 o'clock will be the aarti. So this is in the evening, Eastern Standard Time, 5:30 p.m. Okay. Mother Leela Shakti, do you have any questions? Okay. Yes, Maharaj, so those were the announcements from my side.
Okay, thank you very much. And we'll see everybody online during the next few days. And as you see here, we have Radha Golokananda, who are worshipful deities. And this was taken this morning through my computer, because I'm not going to the temple. I probably will start going to the temple on the first of May when I get cleared to go to the temple again. So I ask you all just to take adequate precautions, protect yourselves, and chant the holy names for protection, but also take the necessary protection, wear masks if you're going out, observe social distancing. That's very important. Okay, Krishna Priya, you had something to say? Or
no, I'm just listening.
Okay.
I had something to say, but I actually did have something to say, because today I was contacted by a medical person who's a devotee, and I've spoken about it before, but they suggest, like, in the temple, because different devotees are coming in at different times to do service in the temple room, it would be good, and around the temple, and when there was more than just a few people, if there were masks that were worn.
Yeah, so we should take precautions, just like I've taken precautions. Even though I've been here since the 7th of April, I haven't gone to the temple because, anyway, for a variety of reasons. Tomorrow, I'm getting a test for antibodies. So we'll let you all know what the test says. But I'm feeling fine, no symptoms. I'm going outside, enjoying life, swimming, everything like that. So don't worry, be happy. This life is temporary, okay? On that happy note, thank you all for joining us. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Radha Golokananda ki jai, Gaur Premananda.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Tilaki.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Yeah, I'm cooking. Yes, Maharaj.
Tilaki is the best cook in the whole movement, just to let you know. Eventually, we.
No, I'm trying best to make nice things. Your health is okay, Maharaj?
Yes, I'm fine.
Okay. I was a bit worried about you, Maharaj.
I'm having some tests tomorrow, but I'm no symptoms. I'm happy. I'm exercising.
Okay.
I'm just whatever. At least today I am. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for joining us. It's great.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.